just know what I can do. You know, at the end of the day, you got to believe in yourself. The world already is moving at a way to where people are scared to take risks, but it's not a risk. I know what I believe in. I lean on my faith. I lean on God. God is real to me. So I know what I can do. I work my ass off every single offseason. I work my ass off every single season. And I just know it. I'm the type of player that's going to show it. I just got to get in the right system. And I kind of slept on it, kind of going in, thinking that that kind of didn't abide. You know, maybe that you got players in sometimes not the best systems who can turn it around. But it does take all 11. You know, it definitely takes all 11.
That is Elijah Moore, Bills wide receiver, wearing number 18 yesterday at OTAs. I like 18 as a receiver number.
Thought he looked good yesterday. I have some video of him, Keon Coleman, other receivers. If you want to check that out at Sal Sports, of course, WGR550.com. That interview you heard right there, that was him and I caught up after practice. He was just walking with Josh Palmer and kind of, you know, walked over to him, introduced myself, said, hey, you got a few minutes. We started chatting a little bit. So it was very unscripted, unplanned. And he was gracious enough to spend some time. One of the things that stood out was, you know, him kind of being aware of talking about situation being mattered, you know, mattering. And, you know, being here in Buffalo. And I said to him, you know, in Buffalo, a lot of people wanted you drafted 4 years ago.
Yeah.
He said, well, I couldn't choose where I went, obviously, right? And obviously, things played out. He's glad to be in Buffalo. But there was a part, and I asked him, and I want to read this to you because I have the transcript here I was going through. So I basically asked him, like, what is the difference? I said, hey, you know, you have been at places that have not had team success. Like, what have you seen here that might have been different? Not to trash your old teams. Like, what have you seen here? And he said, actually, it's kind of funny. He said, I was talking about this with my wife last night, actually, how... He said, first of all, they're really tight. The guys are. He said, but, you know, you go into a team meeting, those guys are all dialed in. They got their notepads out. They're taking notes. They're listening. They're attentive to the coaches. And he said, it just kind of, and I'm not telling you, he didn't say anything about they didn't do that in Cleveland. He didn't say they didn't do that in New York. But he said, you're paying attention to what the coach is saying. Have the respect for the coaches and everyone else around you and everyone else around them. Someone listens, and it's stuff like that you see that, you know, he said it's never the big things. It's the little things like that that he's noticed.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, very cool. Very interesting. He'll be wide receiver what this year? And when it's all said and done. Do you think it'll be number five by the end of the season?
It could be four. It's really him and Samuel, I think, four and five. That's what it comes down to.
It would stun
you. I don't think there's any difference. I don't think there's any doubt. It's Shakir, Coleman, and Palmer as your top three.
Yeah.
And if Coleman vaults to number one, that's fine. I'll put him first. But either way, that's your top three.
Yeah.
To me.
Would it stun you if Moore outplayed any of those three?
Like
once the season gets going. Like once the season, yeah, once the season gets going and it becomes a little evident that, all right, they've got something here and he looks like a more dangerous option than it could be any of the top three.
Aren't we all thinking that that could happen with Josh Palmer? Aren't they kind of the same type of player in a way? He has better speed, but it's a separator.
Sure.
They're not the biggest guy.
Similar skill sets.
Right? Isn't that the guy he could replace in your scenario?
And then you look at it and
go, wait a minute. They just signed one guy for $9 million.
Yeah.
And they got the other guy that no one kind of wanted, and they just threw him this offer when he was they got that weird RFA or UFA thing put on him. But either way, they get him for, you know, $3.5 million.
Yeah. Isn't it interesting that, I mean, the Bills very much showed you who they value more. One player, no pun intended, one player got a sizable contract, multi-year contract, double-digit $1 million per year in Josh Palmer. Versus Elijah Moore, who is late free agent ad, 1 year deal. Like, the league told you, not just the Bills, the league told you what they think of these two players.
Mm-hmm.
The Bills didn't give Josh Palmer, what is the number? Is it $11 million for Josh Palmer? $12 million
for Josh
Palmer?
Yeah, maybe I said nine. I'm sorry. I think maybe was that Curtis Samuel?
Samuel, I think, was 8 or 9.
Because Palmer is 11, maybe. Yeah.
They didn't give Palmer that money in a vacuum, right? They were bidding against other teams. And there would have been some semblance of what the market was for him. So the league said, Palmer's an asset. And the league also said, Elijah Moore, 1 year deal. Prove it deal. Not to say nobody could have offered him a 2 year deal. He talked with you about, you know, how much his landing spot mattered and a competitive team mattered. Isn't it interesting, though, that the league valued one so much more than the other when in 4 years, they both played exactly 4 years, their numbers are almost identical. Like, they're pretty close. In four seasons, Moore's played 61 games, Palmer's played 58 games, and receptions, 182 versus 200, advantage Moore. 2287 yardage versus 2162, advantage Palmer. But it's within, it's like 100 yards different. 10 touchdowns for Palmer, 9 touchdowns for Moore. I mean, those are just the counting stats. But I wonder, is there a good answer why the league kind of valued Palmer so much higher than Moore at this point in time? Is it there's more to just the yardage, right? Who's a better and more physical blocker? I think answer would probably be Palmer on that front. So there might be other, you know, facets of the position that Palmer's more trustworthy in. But I noticed that it's a little strange that they got very different contracts and all their production looks almost the same.
So I think this is when you dig into the details of, are they able to play multiple positions, inside, outside, mm-hmm. right? Route trees, things like that. And then maybe there's things behind the scenes we don't know about. And I have no idea what kind of sure. teammate Elijah Moore is or has been or wasn't or anything like that. Were there some rumblings with the Jets that things weren't going well in New York? In the locker room, maybe, or with the front office or whatever?
I believe coaches? He has been suspended by his own team on both teams.
Okay.
That happened last year in Cleveland. We never got any details about why that happened. He went right back in, and there really was that was a weird one in Cleveland. I think he got suspended for a game for something detrimental to the team, but we never found out what it was, and you never had anything else. The Jets, there was, though. The Jets, but it was more about playing time, I think. Like, he didn't feel he was getting the ball enough in New York, which back then that might have been, I mean, it was Zach Wilson throwing the ball, so it might have gone over his head anyway. But, yeah, that could be right. That could be right. That there's more, there might feel like more of a risk with Moore off the field than there would feel with Palmer. That would be a good answer as to why that's the case. So, back to the original question, though, I like Palmer. I think Palmer's a nice player. I think Moore being significantly better than Palmer would surprise me. I could see them being similar. I mean, the numbers say they're similar players. And which of the other two? It's not going to be Khalil Shakir. I guess, what have to happen, it would be Coleman not taking a step forward. But even Coleman, if Coleman doesn't give you a giant leap, Coleman does because of his body type. I think a lot of things for this offense that you're just never even going to ask of Elijah Moore, right? When last year Mac Hollins is playing all those snaps, it's not just because he's getting the ball all the time. He had the same amount of receptions as Curtis Samuel did last year. But he was on the field all the time. Why? Because he's big and he's physical, and the Bills wanted to run the ball a lot last year, and they're going to need some of their receivers to be big and physical. And that's going to be Coleman. I think maybe even if he doesn't take a big step forward, Moore is not going in on those plays. So I think he'll have a tough time cracking the top three. Even if he might be, I think pretty talented. And on other teams, like he just wasn't Cleveland, capable of being even number two guy.
Trying to remember last year, I know we went back. I know Tyrell Shavers kind of was the guy who we thought might make the team.
Sure, right.
Is there really any thought that anybody outside of the five we're talking about? Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Tyrell Shavers, I guess Laviska Shenault would come in here, but only because of his kick return ability.
Right, he's not playing offense.
And I've said this before, he's not, like, I know there's a debate out there that I've got into with people about he's fighting for the same job as Brandon Codrington. He's not, they don't do the same thing, but I understand the thought of, could you really afford to keep two return men? Totally get that. And Codrington, by the way, is a DB, Laviska Shenault's a wide receiver. Laviska Shenault, to me, would be maybe the only guy because of that, but he falls into a different bucket. At wide receiver itself, actually on the field playing wide receiver, I mean, Tyrell Shavers, Jalen Virgil, KJ Hamler. It's the same as last year. You're right there. Chase Claypool was there and then he was gone. I don't know if any of them have any... I think I give them a less shot now, I guess, Joe, is the best I'd say. Yeah. A worse, lesser shot now for a guy like Tyrell Shavers to make the team than actually when they got to training camp last year and we started watching things.
I would agree with you. I think they are better at the position than they were last season. I think the change from, I mean, and you're going back to training camp, which is right to do, and that doesn't even count Amari Cooper, who wasn't here at that point in time. Because I think Moore and Palmer is an upgrade over Hollins and Cooper. But if you go back to training camp, right, when Cooper's not even here, there was definitely a spot available. Especially when there was a good thought that Claypool could take that spot. And remember, he got hurt, was it the second day of training camp that Chase Claypool got hurt?
Oh, maybe, yeah.
And then he just never came back on the field.
Back, yeah.
So that was another spot that we thought, okay, this guy, I mean, look at him. You know, he's a freak athlete. He looks the part on the field. But, oh, nope, now he's not out there. So maybe now there's even another spot that was available. So I would agree with you. Like, Shavers or Hamler or is Andy Isabella still floating around the practice squad? He might not be
he's
anymore.
Not. You want me to give you the names?
Yeah, go ahead.
Here are the names below the top five: Shakir, Coleman, Palmer, Samuel Moore. Tyrell Shavers, Laviska Shenault, who's more of a kick returner, Jalen Virgil, KJ Hamler, guys who were here last year in the system. Caden Prather, rookie
seventh
they drafted.
Round. Yep.
And then Christian Wilkerson, who they signed as a free agent. I didn't know much about him until I read the bio.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to tell you this. He actually made a couple of nice grabs yesterday. Christian Wilkerson. He's a journeyman. He's been around the league for like 4 years. And then you have a couple of undrafted free agents. Kelly Akarari, I think is how you say his name.
Yeah.
And Steven Gosnell. That's it. I mean, I don't see anybody on this list, even the drafted guy, Caden Prather.
Yeah.
You might give him, because of the asset, a better shot than a Virgil or a Hamler. Like, hey, we put an asset into this guy. I think he is destined to be on the practice squad. Like, that to me screams Justin Shorter, let's see what happens kind of thing.
Yep. None of those guys there's nobody on that list that I could see beating out anyone in the top five.
Correct.
I'll put it that way. I think their top five, unless, right, something happens, you know, in the locker room or someone gets hurt, I don't see that top five changing. Except for the order of the five. And you're right. Maybe Samuel and Moore at 4 or 5 is the biggest.
So to me it goes, it's Shakir, Coleman, Palmer are, in fact, I might even say, I'm going to put him in 3 tiers. Shakir and Coleman are at the top. There's a line, Josh Palmer. There's a line, Samuel Moore.
Ooh.
No?
Depth chart-wise, snaps, like what you think they're going to catch? Like, how would you define that?
Usage, okay. Depth chart, snaps. You might not get the targets. Maybe 4 gets more targets than 3, but like you're on the field and contributing.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Right?
It might end up... This might not end up being a good conversation because it could end up being close. Like, if one guy gets 900 and the other guy gets, you know, 800, you know, whatever. But I would not be surprised. I might pick Palmer.
To be
one of their top two.
Oh, okay. Who is he over?
Over Coleman. I think Coleman's going to be a fine, useful player for them.
All right.
I guess I would think it's more likely that Palmer with a better offense with Josh Allen being a veteran is going to, his ascension to me is more likely than Coleman's in year two. Put it that way.
So let's do it this way then.
It's the type of player I like the separators.
Okay, you get a Shakir, Coleman, Palmer tier.
Yep.
Top three. Samuel Moore tier. That's it, right? And then after that, there's a Shavers, Virgil, Hamler, Shenault tier, I guess.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. If we're tiering them, I almost, though, want to, in a way, put Shakir on his own tier. Because even though I like the idea of Palmer, and I think Coleman, there's a potential for another step, there are questions about all four of those guys, if we're just talking top five here. There's a question about Palmer. Can he take a step on a new offense? There's a question about Coleman. There's a question about Samuel staying healthy. There's a question about Moore. Shakir is pretty rock solid, isn't he? Isn't Shakir the one of the five where, oh, you know he's going to be, he's going to have his role, he's going to do really well at it, he's going to be a big part of the offense. Like, I don't have a question about Khalil Shakir, which is why I almost want to, you know, someone will come close to his production, but he's the one guy I don't have any, what would the concern be? It would just be injury, like, and that would be anybody. So, I don't have a question about him.
Evan tweets in, thanks a lot. Getting connected with our fans brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. He says, here's a question. Who has the potential to be this year's MVS? High expectations just doesn't work out. My question is, Evan, were there really high expectations for MVS? I don't know. It was, hey, maybe this guy works out. It looked pretty good at one point, maybe early on in training camp, but I don't think there were like these high expectations.
Would you say there were higher expectations or similar expectations to what there would be for Elijah Moore right now? Which is,
yeah.
Just,
and by the way, does someone have to be this year's MVS? If you think there's high expectations, yeah, but doesn't work out, I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think so either. I mean, the likelihood that all five work out the way you want it to, I mean, the math of that just tells you someone's gonna let you down.
But if that's what you mean, who's the guy where, okay, out of the five, is there a guy where you're like, at the end of the day, you're like, man, we thought we'd get more this year.
This is why I like their group, though, right now.
Because that's got to be either Moore or Samuel.
I agree. And Samuel could just be because of injury. I like Samuel when he's on the field, but it could be injury.
Right.
MVS, I mean, my problem with MVS was always that he wasn't a well-rounded player. He had drop problems. He didn't have a full route tree. He didn't play in the slot. He was a downfield threat on the outside. That kind of a one-trick pony. And I don't see Moore that way. And if that's the fifth guy versus the fifth guy from last year, I got a guy from last year with all those, you know, inconsistencies. And Elijah Moore, he hasn't put the numbers up, but the skill set presents itself as somebody that could do everything. He can play outside, he can play in the slot, he can run all the routes, he can catch the ball, he can't block, so that's the one thing. But everything else is there, and that was not the case for MVS last year. So I wouldn't think there would be an MVS. Guy getting cut 5 weeks into the season, 6 weeks into the season, whatever that ended up being.
I mean, then he went, obviously, to New Orleans, and he has a two-touchdown game, yeah, and suddenly It's literally Isaiah Hodgins revisited from the year before or whatever.
Yeah.
When he went to the Giants and had this great start. But
yeah,
ultimately, would he have... I mean, maybe you could argue he could have helped the Bills. I don't know. I don't know what an impact MVS would have really made on this team last year.
I think they did fine. They did fine replacing him with Cooper on the roster, which was, I think, that lined up about
time. By the way, also not signed.
Not signed. That's right. Before we get to a break, ESPN yesterday, ESPN Analytics, their first football power index of 2025. You'll see that reference throughout the season. They got their formula. They put everything into it on the rosters. The Bills come in at number five. The four teams ahead of them, all pretty close together, by the way. In fact, the Eagles through the Bills is 1 through 5. All of that is within 1 point of each other. The next team below the Bills is 2 points lower. So there's basically a tier one on ESPN's first FPI. The five teams: Eagles, Chiefs, Ravens, Lions, Bills. Feel fair? Does anybody else deserve inclusion there?
The top five.
Washington, Cincinnati, Green Bay are the next three teams after that. There's kind of a, in their first of the year, there's a tier break.
Okay.
It's those first five.
Give me them again.
Eagles, Chiefs, Ravens, Lions, and Bills. And then tier break.
Yeah. What's the most likely team out of the top five to not live up to that? You're going to say Chiefs. I know you are.
It's just because I laughed. Lions?
I think the Lions lost too much from their coaching staff.
They did lose
a lot of coaches.
Except for Dan Campbell.
Yeah.
Yeah, they'll have a new play caller on both sides of the ball because Campbell's not a play caller.
Right.
So they'll have a new offensive play caller. And
they're
new
talented.
Defensive.
They're good.
Yeah.
And we know that, right?
I think.
Plus, they're in a North division that's pretty darn good.
Yep. I want to say Chiefs. That's not me saying Chiefs. I'm saying I want to say Chiefs. There's a difference there. I'm scared to say Chiefs.
I know.
I didn't like their offseason. I thought their biggest problem was offensive line, and I don't think they fixed it. but they had a bad offensive line at times last year, and they won 15 games. So, like, there's that. I don't know how much to ding them for it. They got lucky in a lot of games last year, and I think they could get unlucky in four. They didn't, and they'll still win 11. So, I'm too afraid to say Chiefs, but I think they would be the team I'm staring at for your question. How about in the other way? One team that jumps up into that top five.
Who are the next on the group?
Washington, Cincinnati, Green Bay, the Rams, the Niners, Denver is on here.
Ooh, man. I'm going to say not Denver. I think that that's still... Yeah, I mean, I like a little bit about Denver. To me, the Rams are sneaky here. It's got to be the Bengals because of just what they can do on offense, right? I know their defense still has question marks, but huge. I just don't know how you can ignore the Bengals there and how good they and dynamic they can be on offense and just boat race you.
I might say Green Bay. Youngest team in the league the last 2 years. If they keep maturing and they get a couple of young guys that were rookies to take steps forward, the only thing is Jordan Love's got to stop playing like 2019 Josh Allen.
Yeah, but you know
he is
Joe. That's exactly the reason I don't put them there is
because he's so erratic.
No. What you just said, youngest team in the league last 2 years. Are they going to mature? They're already talking about moving wide receivers out because. Yeah, they've been young, but they haven't had the next guy yet, right? Like,
yeah, they drafted a new one,
right?
Young guy.
I just think it's almost like we've been talking about them taking that step. It reminds me a little bit. I know they've won more about the Sabres. Young team. Here we go. I just couldn't get it there.
That's right. Ooh, how do I feel about that as a comparison? You're right. They've won more, but. Yeah, that's not bad. They still are. I wonder where they would rank. They probably would still be one of the youngest.
Yeah.
I would be surprised if they weren't still like one of the three to five youngest teams. 803-0550 is the phone number. Josh has some trivia for us when we come back. So,
and I have, I don't know if you have the audio. We can find it. I'll read you what Terry Bradshaw, Hall of Fame quarterback of the Pittsburgh Steelers, said about the Steelers' yay or nay on Aaron Rodgers.
He had some harsh things to say.
Yes, he did.
We'll get that to you as well. Stay tuned. It's Jeremy and Joe. Jeremy off this week. Sal's in, and this is WGR.